It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This is Jack Leiter with the Texas Rangers. Welcome to the Texas Ranger Baseball Podcast with Jeff and John.
Jeff Wilson started covering the Texas Rangers in 2008, though he'll never forget 2021. Out on his own, he decided it was time to do a podcast, but his wheels were spinning until a nerd came along. There's no going back now. Welcome to the Texas Rangers Baseball Podcast. Here's your host, Jeff Wilson, and the recliner nerd himself, John Moore.
All right, and welcome to the Texas Rangers Baseball Podcast. This is episode 23, and today's episode is fun with Foscue because we are having Justin Foscue back on for the second time. You guys have already heard the first episode, but we're just going to have fun with Justin today, catch up right before spring training and do that. But we'll get with Justin right after this. Today's episode is brought to you by Superior Sports Investments. Established in 1995, they carry one of the largest graded card inventories in the country with the widest variety of BGS and BCCG and PSA graded sports cards. Unlike other online sellers or auction houses, they own their entire inventory. They don't take consignment, no auctions, so they take pride in every sale that they make. They make sure every card they sell is the highest quality item possible before it leaves their hands and packaged safely and securely. Visit their eBay or Amazon stores to see their entire inventories or browse SuperiorSportsInvestments.com. That's SuperiorSportsInvestments.com. And use the promo code THANKS5 for a discount. All right, guys, here we go. And he's Justin, where are you at?
I'm in Nashville, Tennessee right now.
Nashville, Tennessee on the Texas Ranger Baseball Hotline. Joining us is Texas Ranger infielder Justin, maybe outfielder, who knows, Justin Foscue. Justin, what's up, bud?
Hey guys, thanks for having me on again.
Yeah. Well, this is episode 23, so we've had 22 guests prior, and yours was great. So you and Davis Wenzel probably Wynn and Leiter are my top four.
And that's Derek, good.
But Derek Holland was
shows I got a little bit of personality in me.
Yeah, there you go. Marketable young man. There you go.
I think my favorite when he goes, you guys even going to ask me about the College World Series?
That's right.
Speaking of that, I'm actually going to Starkville for opening weekend. That's why I'm leaving Sunday. I'm going to Starkville this weekend. I'm going with Brent Rooker, and that'll be my first time going back since I got drafted.
Are they doing a ring ceremony or anything like that?
Sadly, I don't get a ring. They had that ring ceremony in October of last year. Okay. But I've been giving Lamonis a hard time. I said I think I need at least a polo or something because he hasn't sent me any Natty Champ gear at all. So I'm been giving a hard time.
Yeah, you absolutely need some freebies. I mean, yeah, goodie bag,
yeah, for sure.
Absolutely, wear it around Leiter. Just sit there and wear that crap right around Leiter.
Yeah.
All right. So how's your offseason been? I mean, you're winding down.
Yeah, man, it's been good. I've been training at my agent's place. all off season, and I've been very consistent there. And I've been very pleased with the results I've been getting just with my physical upgrades, and like just been eating a lot better. I did a little bit of different workouts this off season. I did more mobility and stretching than I did last off season. So my body's moving a little bit better. So I feel like I'm in really good shape moving into spring training this year.
Are you doing like mobility and stretching? So it sounds like yoga, Pilates, anything.
It's not really like yoga and Pilates. It's more just like, what is it called? Kinetic stretching. I'm moving my joints in places. Like I'm mainly holding, like, let's say for like hip mobility, I'm holding my hips up, to keep, like, when you're moving, I'm trying to figure out a way to describe it. Your hips don't really go into like full, I'm not smart, so
me neither.
I'm not describing it the right way, but
you said kinetic,
huh?
You said kinetic. That sounds pretty smart.
Yeah.
I just got it from the program. I didn't make that up.
All right.
So basically, just like a lot of hip mobility, some stretching that makes my body move a little bit better.
All right. Well, that sounds good to me. And I mean, there's so many different ways you can do things, so many different ways to work out, and so many different ways to improve. So
for me, it's like I'm already a pretty strong guy, and I have my base strength. So I need to get my body and muscle to move quicker and faster and stronger at the same time. So trying to do a lot of that mobility stuff will help that.
All right. Okay. So you said more consistent. Is it something swing related that you struck on? What do you got there?
Well, for me last year, I was kind of on and off going back and forth from the facility to my hometown. So I never really was very consistent, like 5 days a week, getting in the facility, working out, hitting every day. This year I did that. So, I mean, nothing's really changed with my swing really. It's just been about more getting in the gym 5 days a week, and just being consistent at it week by week, instead of getting in there 1 week, getting out of there 1 week. So that's what I meant by consistency. So, that just helps me going into the season more. So I'm more confident in my abilities.
Yeah. Maybe have more of a rhythm, more of a routine.
Yeah. 100%.
Okay. So you're going to the mini camp, this minor league mini camp that the Rangers are going to hold for what they call their priority prospects. I don't know what that means, but I'm guessing advanced
top. I didn't get invited.
Yeah. I got invited, but I'm not coming. So what, I guess that's the start. You're not going to be going back to Nashville, right?
Yeah, that's going to be it.
What do you hope to get out of this? Just a good start to things?
Yeah, man, just getting the swing of things again. Like, I'm excited to get out there to Arizona with good weather, like really good playing surface. Like right now, I've been working out at, like, I've probably been outside maybe 6 times total. Just to field ground balls and like hit. And I'm just excited to get out there on like those fields there and just field ground balls on a good surface, hit, see the ball fly, like running bases a little bit, trying to get in the swing of things again. So, I mean, that's like spring training is really just about getting your feet underneath you before the season, getting a lot of reps in. And that's what it's all about. So, I don't need to impress anybody. I just need to go there. I know what to expect this year with spring training. So just go out there, hang out with Jack. I haven't met Jack that much. So I'll just hang out with Jack, and like hang out with all the guys again. And so, yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah. Find a way to get into trouble in Arizona. All right.
Booties.
I mean, those bars close at like 9 o'clock. So it's hard to do unless you can go to the Navy, the Luke Air Force Base. They have a bar that stays open all night.
My problem might be the casino.
Well, good for you. What's your game?
Blackjack.
Okay. All right. Blackjack. So you have a soft 17. Well, wait. Let's say you have a soft 14. The dealer has a 5. Are you doubling down?
Soft 17. So that's an ace.
You have a soft 14. You have a one and a three.
Ace and a three?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the dealer's showing a what?
a 5. Are you going to double down?
Ace and a 3 is 14, so I'm staying.
Okay. I think
I won't double there because I might get like a 6 and then I'll end up with like a 12. Yeah. And the dealer pops a
right.
Yeah, like a 5 underneath there, a 6, and then now he's got 20-21.
Well, oh, yeah. And I think it depends where you are on the table too. But anyway, I like
black. I think it's fun. I think it's a lot of fun when you go with your friends.
Yeah. What about poker? Do you do poker? Poker's different in a casino.
I mean, I could do poker. I feel like I'm good at poker because I'm like, I have a straight face like all the time.
Yeah.
So, but like the thing with poker is it just takes a while. Like if you want to win,
you gotta be patient.
I could sit there for 5-6 hours and I'll win the table.
Right.
Yeah. You got to be patient because you got to know when to play your bluff because they've got to see, that you're, you know, that you're dropping and all the time they're doing that. So they got to think all the time. Oh, he only goes in when he's good. And then you got to feel that time to do your bluff. Right.
And I think the problem guys run into is like, they'll get in there and just like, they'll bet. Cause they just want to get the game over with within 30 minutes to an hour. And it's like, you could do that, but like,
yeah,
you're going to be out of money.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, but like poker in a poker room, it's not as exciting. There's not cocktail waitresses coming by as often with the drinks and,
yeah,
you can't yell when the dealer. Of course, the dealer doesn't bust. You're playing the guy next to you. So,
yeah, absolutely.
All right, so we're gonna keep you out of the casinos. it seems like you might have reason to not gamble because maybe, and we talked about this, you might have to switch positions. Based on what happened,
Marcus gonna slide over.
That's right.
You get Marcus to slide over. There you go.
I'll get Marcus to slide over. No, I'm kidding. But yeah, man, I'm excited for spring training. They've told me I'm going to work at third a little bit, but I know Josh is over there and they love Josh. So we'll see what happens, man. Like I got a hit to do anything in the first place. So
I've said that over and over. I said, people
if I don't hit, it's not going to matter.
Yeah. I've said that over and over. I said, you want to know when they're high on a prospect? Watch when someone like Foscue starts playing left field. That means, okay, his bat's playing. We got to find for a place to play. That's when they're going to do it. Right now, you're going to go in and play second base and whatever you're doing. And then when that bat's tearing it up, when Foscue's playing left field one day or first base, that's when you're going to go, okay, they got to start putting him somewhere.
Yeah. But, hey, like, I'm open for whatever, man. Like, it is what it is. Like,
you ready to get on the field?
If they want me to play left field, like, shoot, I'll play left field, but it ain't gonna be pretty.
You just gotta get out there and do it. You learn. You're
But you're more flexible in your hips and moving better now. So
yeah,
maybe you're gonna be able to handle this.
Maybe you're a center.
Yeah, but it's just different.
I know.
It's just different.
I know.
Well, what do you think though? I'm sorry. What would you think? You think like you'd be better, sir? Like you could slide over and play first easier than you could play outfield?
I don't know. I've never been a fan of first base. It's with me at second base, my hands play so well over there, in my opinion. It's just going to be a very hard deal. Like, what I don't want to happen is, let's say I get caught up and they put me over somewhere and I haven't played over there at all. I haven't practiced. So I know I'm probably going to work over at first, work over in right and left or wherever they want to put me. But we'll see. Like I can't say I'm better at first base than left field because like I've played there at all.
Never done it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. they're gonna give you minor league play out there when they're ready. You're gonna play games wherever they think they want to play you.
Well, and there is reason to keep you there. I mean, to keep you at second and keep playing and developing there. I mean, it's you could be a broken ankle away from
exactly.
Playing there, playing sure. You know, I mean,
sure.
And they need guys who are versatile, and that's their big thing. And I guess that's a big thing in baseball. But it seems like the Rangers really like the guys that can do whatever they need. So
yeah,
they're and then Woodward had Chris Taylor with the Dodgers, and so I think that's kind of his example at least. So anyway,
it'll be interesting.
Just put you behind the plate.
That's it. As long as you're playing ball, that's a good thing.
Suit up.
So, actually, what the Padres asked me if I would sign for $500K out of high school to catch, and I said no.
To catch?
To catch.
Yeah, catch. I said, I'm not. They said, hey, we want you to come to a pro workout and catch. I said, I'm not doing that. that I got to buy all the gear and stuff for that. And like I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. Kitchen equipment is not cheap either.
No, it's not. I have a son that caught.
Yeah. So, all right, position switch. You got to hit. You're about to go be with all these really good prospects. Just kind of what do you see when you see these other guys? How much talent do you see with you and Huff? And well, he won't be at the camp because he's on the 40-man roster, but
yeah.
Josh and the other Josh Smith and Owen, yeah, and guys like that. How much talent is it?
It's a lot of talent. I'll tell you that. It's a lot of talent. Like I look at our prospects and the non-prospects. I'm like, but kind of deep, and nobody really knows it. I said it back a long time ago. But it's a pretty good farm system, and
really good.
The Rangers future looks pretty good if we just develop the way we're supposed to, and then with the new signings I just got. So it's always fun just being out there every day with them, because mm-hmm. It makes you better just competing with them. So my thing is just be a good teammate, be their friend, and try to push them just like they're trying to push me. So it's just really exciting when we go out there, see each other all again, and just try to get better every day.
Well, you played with Josh Smith in Frisco, and you played with Ezekiel Duran in the fall league. What can you tell us about those two cats?
They can both play for sure. Josh is a really good defender, and he can bunt a little bit. He can run a lot. Like it's, and then they can put the ball. And when he barrels the ball, or shoot, when he hits it, it's hard. Mm-hmm. So he can hit for a high average. And he's just one of those players that is just a ball player and can make all these different plays. And he can help your team and win different, like he can help you win games in different ways. And that's very valuable as a player. And then Zeke rakes. Like he raked in the fall league and everybody was impressed with him. And then he had made some crazy plays on defense sometimes. So the Rangers did a very good job getting those two guys. And then Trevor Haverall is a very good player too. So I think people forget about him, but he walks a ton. So they got really, like, they got three really good players back in that trade.
Yeah. Duran's such a good story. Cause he signed for 10,000. He signed late, you know, I think he signed when he was 18. He lived like in a small town outside of the main scouting area. And it was like a tale of perseverance. And he's so humble. It just, you know, we spoke
to
him.
He's a very good dude. You know, me and him got very close in the fall league, and it's pretty cool just being with him every day. Like he's not trying to, like I talk about it too, just being friendly while you compete. Mm-hmm. Like he wants me to succeed just as much as I want him to succeed. And you can feel that every day with him. And that's what's so special about him. He's just a very good dude to work with.
All right. Okay. So this lockout thing, I guess, is kind of affecting you a little bit in that you don't know when big league spring training is going to start. Have the Rangers given you any guidance? Just go out there and take care of your own business. And when the time comes, if the time comes, they'll slide you over.
Yeah. I mean, I talked to CY didn't really give me any heads up on when that would start, but like, he just told me like, keep going about my business. Like I have been,
worry about
put my head down and work, and everything will turn out the way it should. But like, I'm kind of disappointed because I was really excited to work with Simeon and Seager, just to pick their brains a little bit. But, I'm not feeling so good about it. I don't think it's going to happen. Which sucks, but I guess I'll see them next spring training if I'm still here. But, I think the main thing for all of us guys is just go out there, try to get better. And that's all we can do. That's all we can control. So,
yep.
Yeah. It's interesting because there, you know, if the lockout ends and camp starts 2 days later, there's going to be a roster shortfall on the big league roster. And if games start, you know, as you well know, the Marcus Semien's and Corey Seager's of the world play three innings the first time out. And then usually a minor league free agent or somebody from the minors will come in. So it seems like that there will be need for players. And anyway, it's just going to be interesting. And this whole thing is so screwed up. We should be in Arizona right now.
Yep.
It's going to be an interesting 2 months.
Holy cow.
It's going to be very interesting.
Yeah. Yep. So what do you think? I mean, obviously you're on the player side, but are you following this closely? Are they doing good work for your future?
That's what I've been hearing. Like, I was talking to Brandon Lau today, and he was basically telling me, like, it's not – the stuff they're negotiating isn't really affecting him or, like guys like Semien and Seager. It's more guys like me and guys that are, like, maybe could get called up in the next 2 or 3 years. And that, like, that means a lot for real because, like, they're fighting for the future of baseball. So it's always good to hear that stuff. And it's just, like – I don't understand why the like Rob Manfred or whoever it is that are doing the negotiations don't want to try to grow the game. And I don't know too much about it. I don't really try to look into all that, but it's kind of just disappointing how they've had all this time and they haven't really figured anything out, but I can't control any of it. So just hope for the best in the next couple weeks or something.
Well, you're playing baseball no matter what. So
right,
yeah. So that's cool. I guess it's like the only, like I said, the only downside for me is like I wish I was at spring training with Semien and Seager.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, that's so invaluable.
Like I was really looking forward to that, but I don't think it's gonna happen.
Well, they're around. You'll be able to find them, and then they'll want to know you. So figure it out. You're a smart kid. All right, so I'm done with baseball. So the biggest thing that I think happened to you this offseason was you got engaged.
Yeah.
Indeed. Yep.
Congratulations. Tell us all about it.
How'd you meet her?
How'd I do what?
How'd you meet her? How'd you convince her? Did you drug her? What's the deal?
No, I mean, like, I think we had been talking about it for a long time. Like, I wish I had done it in 2020, but I didn't really want to do anything to do with COVID. So then I reported early in January and I was like, well, I'm not going to do it during the season. So she kind of had an idea of when it was going to happen.
Yeah.
The season ended like middle of September. And then I was going to the fall league in two or three weeks. So she knew it was going to happen in those 3 weeks. And like, so funny thing is we kind of knew I was going to propose. So she was trying to already get wedding venues and a date picked out because of with COVID, everything was getting pushed back and all the dates were being locked up. And because I'm a baseball player, you gotta put the wedding after the season. So that restricts everything else. So she had already gotten a date prior to me proposing to her. And that, like, it's just a weird story. So we already had the venue and I hadn't seen the venue yet. So I was like, when I get home, I want to go see the venue. And it just worked out. My parents set up this nice dinner for them, for our whole family one night. And I was like, let's go there before the dinner. She's like, okay, whatever. And she knew what I was doing.
Yeah.
But I did it there. Like I was touring the whole venue and then like I did it, where we would walk through at the wedding. So, they worked out well. It sucks just cause like, she kind of had an idea of when it was going to happen, which isn't always what you want when you're the guy, but, unfortunately with baseball season and how things worked out, just had to be like that, but it went smoothly. And after we went to my place and had all my friends and her family, over and we had a nice little party. So it was fun.
Yeah. I my proposal, I totally botched it. Like I was horribly nervous.
I would be too. Your wife's like, way too good for you.
We'll just make dinner here at the house. I'll cook something. And like, so we were cooking, I was cooking steak. I bought some nice steaks. I burned the shit out of them. And I, like, the fire got out of control and like the steaks were just burnt to a crisp. And like, I made hash brown casserole and like, it didn't cook all the way through. I mean, it was a disaster.
Gosh.
So then like, you know, I was just so nervous and I was pacing and I'll never forget. Oklahoma State, and it was either Rutgers and or Army were playing on TV.
Football?
Lou Holtz was on the call. She was just sitting on the couch, and I knew she knew it was coming. I was like, all right, stand up. And I didn't get on my knee or anything, and I just said, all right, you want to marry me? You know, just something terrible like that. I mean, it was awful. But she said yes. So that's
all that matters.
I did it in a bar. So.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
I knew the band. And so the guy took the ring on stage and then called me up. And then we had her up. And of course, you know, she almost didn't go that night. I had called her folks. She lives from Illinois. And I'd called them and they knew that we were getting engaged. And she had called her mom and said, I'm tired. I don't think I'm going to go meet him. Because the premise was, we're going to go see this band. And she's like, I'm not going to go. She couldn't figure out why her mom was going. No, you need to go. I don't care how tired you are. You need to go. So you did good. I tell you what, I just paid for a wedding, and in 2020 we had to move it back. So you were smart to wait because we were supposed to get married. My daughter was supposed to get married in the summer, and then we had to move it back all the way to the winter of December to do it because people couldn't travel, and we had dropped a lot of money. The venue started getting antsy with us. We're like, dude, you need to book us another date.
That's what's so tough is like everybody couldn't do it, so now they're pushing everything back, and I'm like, we got to lock in a date or else we're not getting married for two more years.
Yep. So when's the date?
So October 8th.
October 8th. Okay.
So they've already told me, hey, if we're in the playoffs.
Yep.
And I'm in the big leagues, we're going to run into some issues.
Hey, that would be a great reason to miss your wedding. Honestly, I think your fiance could go, that's all right. You know what?
Hopefully that would be an off day. And we can figure something out, but
fly in and fly out.
November 8th in Alabama.
October 8th, yeah, in Huntsville.
All right.
In Huntsville. All right.
I'll get you my address.
If you need me to be flying, may not be able to make it,
but you know, tell us where you registered.
Hey,
I place it in here, some candlesticks, something like that.
I know you want me to be best man, but I'm better at flower girl. I won't get distracted. I'll drop the flowers. I don't cry. I don't, you know, draw attention to myself. I don't look cute in a dress, but I mean, it'll work.
You'd steal a show.
That's right.
Yeah, I don't want to show up the bride.
In a bad way.
Well, congratulations. That's fantastic. Okay.
I appreciate it.
We're gonna get into some fun stuff here. Let's you know, we already talked about where you grew up, other sports you played. We did all that stuff. Now we're just gonna ask, like, you know what, we're gonna have it on the second time. We're just gonna have some fun. So tell me, what's an insult you've received that you're most proud of?
What is it called? An R? What is it? RBF?
RBF?
Yeah.
What's that mean?
You know what that is? Resting bitch face.
Oh.
I got a bad one of those. So I'm pretty proud of that because, like, people would think I'm pissed off all the time. I'm like, look, I'm not pissed off. I'm just like, that's just how my face is. So
that's a good one. All right.
Is it resting bastard face for men?
Hey, it works. Bitch face works for you. I got you. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
All right.
So tell me a funny story that your parents tell about you that you're willing to share with us. There's got to be something that they always bring out at a party or something, some story that. Something you pulled off when you were a kid or something.
I'm not the best at telling stories, to be honest. I mean, there's one with when I was first starting to play baseball. My dad, it was like when I was young enough to where it was my first year of rec ball. And before that, my dad would always hit me ground balls in the concrete or whatever. And I got old enough to where he's like, hey, you need to go try out for the team. So I get in the car, whatever, it's time to go try out for this team and we're going to practice. And like, we pull up to the place and I don't want to get out of the car. I'm scared. I'm shy. Like, I don't want to go to the field. He's like dragging me. He comes up to me. He goes, if you want to ever play baseball again, you're going to get out of the car right now and you're going to go practice. And if you don't, I'm not going to ever hit ground balls to you ever in the yard again. And I got unbuckled my seatbelt. I got out of the car. He dragged me onto the field and he introduced me to the head coach. And he was like, you know, hey, I'm yada yada. Like, have you ever, you know, played baseball before? And I, you know what I told him? I said, yeah, I'm better than, and I'm better than all these other people out here right now. So
that's pretty good.
So ever since then, like, my dad tells that story to, you know, all the dads that were on that team.
Yeah.
Because the head coach tells that story to a lot of people. So that's, I think that's pretty funny. Just because it just shows the confidence I had when I was like 6-7 years old.
Yeah. Well, you're still a confident guy, and you have a reason to be. But yeah, that's confidence. Hey, confidence pays, man.
Hey, you know what? He knew when he asked, she was going to say yes. He was confident. That's right. I think we were all in that. Okay. Is there any shows you're binging right now on like Netflix or Prime or something? Then what's one of the shows you've binged that you enjoyed?
It's a good question. I actually finished, me and McKenzie just finished Game of Thrones, 8 seasons of that. We finished that like last week. We want to get into Peaky Blinders.
That's good.
We watched episode 1 of that. Our show that we watch every year is Big Brother. There's a celebrity version right now.
My daughter and her husband are into that. They love
Lamar
that.
Odom, that, huh?
Lamar Odom's in this one, yeah.
Lamar Odom is in it, yeah.
Did he crap the bed or something like that?
I don't know.
I thought he did something. I thought he soiled something.
He don't know how to play the game, which is funny. Like, he's asking everybody in there, like, questions, and everybody's like, dude, like, you can't be asking me that because, like, you're giving away, like, you don't really know how to play the game, and it's, like, an easy guy to get out of the game because he doesn't know how to play. So they're just going to keep him and then they'll get rid of him later. He'll have no idea what to do. Trying to think.
All right. Do you have a favorite baseball movie? There's a lot of good ones.
What is that one called? Pitcher for the Tigers. For the Love of the Game. For the Love of the Game. I like that one. Sandlot's obviously good, but I like For the Love of the Game. Because like the thing is with that one, McKenzie can kind of relate to the wife.
Yeah, sure.
Kind of stuff. So.
All right. But before we move on,
go ahead.
If you're going to binge watch something, you need to binge watch The Wire. That's what I tell everybody.
I'm in the middle of it now.
Wire, is that criminal one?
Dude.
Yeah, set in Baltimore. Dude. It's so good.
It's awesome.
I'm watching it for the second or third time right now.
So am I. What episode, John?
We're in season 4. We just started season 4.
I'm at the end of season 2. So they're out on the docks. We know what we're talking about here. You would love this. Shows that you've said you liked. I guarantee you, you'll like that show, The Wire.
I've been watching The Last Dance again.
Oh, okay.
So I love that documentary.
I didn't get through that.
Oh, that's
one.
The Michael Jordan one. That's good.
Yeah,
that's good too.
I like how that's like exposed the rift between him and Pippen.
Yep.
It's very well put together.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course it brought up the Carmen Electra Dennis Rodman marriage.
Yep.
Man, yeah. I love Carmen Electra growing up.
Dennis had to escape, and they gave him a 48-hour thing, and he went back for like 80 hours.
Yeah.
That was hilarious. They're like, we just had to let him go.
Yeah. If we wanted him back, and they needed his defense too, so they had to do that. They had to give it to him. Okay. Dinner party, you get to invite 3 people, past or present. Who's at your dinner party?
Got him stumped here.
I stumped him.
I mean, like, I just because I'm watching The Last Dance, I would love to invite Michael Jordan.
Sure. That would be a great one. Is she chiming in back there?
Derek Jeter and
I think he's just throwing darts here.
Yeah, he's.
Dude. I don't know. Like,
that's why I'm doing this, man.
Dude, throw in Jeff. Throw in Jeff.
Yeah, yeah, you got Jeff. There you go. Jeff Absolutely. Will do it. You got a biggest pet peeve?
No.
No?
You got to take. You have RBF or whatever, bitch face. There's got to be something that pisses you off.
Somebody not being straight up with me.
That's a good one. That's a good thing.
Okay. My pet peeve that drives me absolutely insane is when somebody tries to get on the elevator before I get off.
Like on another floor? Or what are you talking about?
Like, so, I'm on the elevator.
Oh, it opens and they try to jump in.
I need to
in.
Get off. And somebody tries to get on before I get off.
That's okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. That one
infuriates me.
Yeah. They just got to wait 1 second for you to exit and then and then just jump right in. I mean, yeah, absolutely. That's it. Are there anything that you're afraid of, like spiders, snakes, you know, whatever? You're from Alabama there. Maybe it's, you know, who knows?
I mean, spiders and snakes are good ones. I mean.
You are afraid of them? So you don't have like a.
Yeah,
a,
I'm not a fan of them.
I've got to, I have to kill the spiders.
So do I. I got
to
kill
roaches. Them. Roaches are funny because like they literally can't do any harm to you. But like for some reason. It's like
they're gross.
They're nasty.
You and my wife. My God, my wife jumps like it's a damn rattlesnake going across the floor if a roach is anywhere. And they're lucky at our new house. But man, she'll go up on a wall and it's like, geez, it's a roach. But I guess just because they're nasty. All right,
they're pretty gross.
All right, what is there anything that makes you nervous? He's going. He's like, "What the hell?"
Other than his first ever baseball tryout,
wedding.
Yeah, that was bad. I tell you, what's crazy is like right before the game, like leading up before the game, I get very nervous for some reason.
That's understandable.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like it's like leading up to the game.
Sure.
Probably like national anthem. You start to get like. Pre-game nerves, and then right when first pitch happens, like I'm fine.
It's totally there. Yeah, I mean, I played a little bit of sports growing up. I know what you mean. I mean,
it's like I don't know why, but like because I play every game.
It's probably exciting. Like,
yeah, it's probably excitement, but it's like a weird feeling that you have, like you're ready. I think that's probably what it is.
Yep. Yeah, can't wait to do it. You have a favorite holiday?
I like Christmas a lot.
Okay.
More than probably Thanksgiving or something.
You got a favorite joke?
No, I'm not a joke person.
Well, what? I've already said shit, bitch, and bastard, so yeah. I guess we can work a little bit blue here.
Yeah, if there was one, but you're not.
I don't even have any good ones anymore.
It's hard. Okay, what's your morning routine? When you get up in the morning, what's the routine? What gets you rolling?
This off season, it's been like wake up at 7, make some breakfast, head out the door around 7:30. And then I get to the facility and I'm there and then I do my stuff there and then that's it. I don't brush my teeth before. I don't do any of that. I just get up, go make breakfast.
What's your breakfast? What do you usually eat? Eggs or what are you, a protein guy?
It's usually eggs and like a little bit of oatmeal.
Okay.
Yeah, you said you cleaned up your diet. Did you do anything radical?
Not radical. It's just eat cleaner. Like instead of getting Chick-fil-A 4 times a week, I get it like once a week. but mainly like Mackenzie is a really good cook, so she'll cook. I usually had like sandwich meat for lunch, and then like she made like stuff like salmon or some kind of chicken steak thing at night.
Sure.
With a good vegetable. So mainly just cooking more often and then like on the weekends, maybe eat out once or twice.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of that, what's the best meal she makes? What's your favorite?
Best meal she makes. She actually made it last night. Salmon with green beans and rice. It's phenomenal.
Oh, I could. That sounds good.
So it's got the salmon's got a little bit of teriyaki taste to it.
Screw Michael Very Jordan. Good. Invite me to your 3-person dinner if that's going to be.
You're probably checking in at about 500 calories on that too. So I mean, that's like a good healthy. Depending on how much you eat, but
yeah, it's healthy. It's phenomenal.
Okay, last two. If you didn't play baseball, what would you do?
Well, I tell a lot of people this. Like, I have a lot of passion for coaching college baseball.
Is that hopefully a plan one day? You'd like to do that?
I would love to do that. Hopefully, I don't have to do that. You know, hopefully, I make a lot of money where I don't have to. I feel like I have to go have another job, but yeah, I kind of want to be like a Nick Saban of a college baseball kind of thing.
Cool.
That's not a bad.
So I have a lot of drive to do that.
So, I mean, some guys who've made money have gone back, like Lance Berkman and Jose Cruz.
Joey Tulowitzki.
Yeah. Kirk Sarlous is at TCU. He didn't have the longest career, but he did all right. So, I mean, there are definitely guys that do it. I think that's great. That's pretty cool, man.
Yeah.
Problem is, awesome. I got to get my degree before I do it.
Sure.
Well, you got time.
You'd have time to do that for sure. You could go catch on somewhere after you've made all your money. You can go in and be in a volunteer coach, get your degree. Do something TCU's like that until you get there.
For doing that. So what's your degree in?
Kinesiology.
Well, see, kinesiology is
perfect. But see, I didn't go to college to get a degree in kinesiology.
Right. I understand.
I went to college to go play at Mississippi State and get better at baseball. So, like, if you ask me if I remember anything that I learned in college, the answer is no.
That's total honesty, though.
Majors. You can change majors.
But then I'm backtracking.
Yeah, no kidding. He's got all his hours for kinesiology. See, I can't even say it.
I got two semesters.
You're talking about you're not smart. I can't even say
it. Two semesters, then I'm good.
Two semesters? Okay. All right. Well, I'm sorry.
I changed my major. Now I got four semesters.
You just got to get the degree. You got to have a degree to be a coach, and that's what he's got to get.
Yeah.
So, come on,
Jeff. When they're having a meeting with me, they're not going to say, Foss, what'd you major in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's the intelligence that I'm going to bring to the meeting is why they're going to hire me.
Exactly.
I guess they got their degrees, Berkman and all those guys.
They have to.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. To be a college coach, you have to have at least a bachelor's degree. That's true. All right. Who plays you in the movie?
Huh?
If they had a movie about Justin Foscue, who plays you?
What do you mean, who plays me?
What actor would play Justin Foscue in the movie?
Hold on. Let me look up male actors.
I need to ask Mackenzie, say, hey, who's your favorite actor? What actor?
I'll just go with,
you know, Dominic West kind of looks like you. He's from The Wire.
Yeah.
A little bit. He's like 60 now. Yeah, he probably is. Yeah.
I mean, see, a lot of these guys have personalities. I don't have a personality.
Well, they're actors.
They're actors. They can act like they don't have a personality. See?
That's true. So I'm going to go with Christian Bale.
All right. He could pull it off. That dude's a chameleon. I've seen him play so many different things. All right.
Yeah, that's a good one, honestly, because he played the Dark Knight.
He sure did. Jeff, anything else? Let this guy go, man. We gave you.
Did you ever do the hot chip?
I didn't do that crap. I told him, I said, look, I'm not doing that. I don't want to die.
That's my fear. Cause I thought about getting one for this and trying it, but I don't want to have a heart attack.
That's what I'm saying.
That's the thing I'm afraid of.
I'm not doing it.
I'd go into straight cardiac arrest, I think.
I actually love spicy food. I don't have an issue, sure. but dude, no way. I'm not, nothing that's that. No. Not in a million years. Justin, this has been fun. And now this is your second time, but man, we plan on over the years, you being on here multiple times. There'll be all kinds of different things to talk about during season, in the off season. We'll have to check back in after the wedding and tell us, did you say the right name? Did you sweat all the way down the aisle or whatever happened? We're going to see you out we'll probably see you at spring training also and see you around the ballpark.
Cool. Sounds good, guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no, and then, you know, it's I think it's pretty much goes to the top, right to the top of their resume, that you're the first time, the first two.
Yep. Tell everyone.
The first guest to appear twice on this podcast.
Absolutely. So, really? You're the first one to come twice. That's it.
Cool. So when you reapply to college, make sure you put that on there.
On the resume.
They'll want to know.
I was the first repeat guest on the Texas Rangers baseball podcast.
There's a ghost going on my resume already.
It's getting on. That's Justin Foskew, guys. Justin Foskew, Texas Ranger infielder. He's joining us. First repeat offender. Is that a way to put it? The first repeat offender to come on. First repeat guest. Justin, thank you so much. Good luck with the season. We'll see you at spring training, bud.
Yeah, sounds good, guys. Appreciate it again.
Okay. Okay, that's the first time we've had a second. That was fun that time. See, those questions got a little crazy. Man, it looks like I stumped him a couple times.
Yeah, yeah. I the actor, I mean, he's kind of a young guy, and he sounds like he watches TV.
Yeah.
And is into the entertainment thing. So I don't know. Maybe you couldn't think of an actor who looked like him.
That's what he's probably. Well, at first he went wrong because he was like, I don't have much of a personality. It's like, dude, they can act like they don't have a personality. He's got more of a personality than he thinks. He just doesn't want to imagine he does. So
he's pretty funny.
Yeah, that was a great one to have back on. And we've already reached out to a couple other guys. We're going to have some more on here. And look, this whole podcast is Texas Rangers, whether they're former, current, future, whatever. And when we haven't had them on a while, it's time to roll back through it. And this was a great one, especially right before spring training.
Yeah. And, you know, big league spring training didn't start this week. And but the mini camp is going to go next week for some minor leaguers. And, you know, I know that there's a lot of excitement with Corey Seager and Marcus Semien and
sure.
John Gray and Cole Calhoun to a lesser extent. But this team is still going to be built on prospects.
Oh.
And these are the guys you got to know. And you know,
he's a one to watch this year too. He is one of the guys to watch.
Talented guy. I mean, there are people in the organization who just fawn over this guy. And I know that like in Baseball America or some of the other rankings, he's, you know, below top five, but I'm doing my 11 through 20 this week, next week, 1 to 10, and he's probably going to be top five.
I had him. I did. So I mean, look, I like him. I like his bat. I like how he plays. I like everything about him. Yeah. He is a major leaguer if he keeps. I mean, he came as advertised, right? You draft him. Some of them think they might have drafted him to get him a little below slot when they took him where they did, because they might have projected him about late 20s. They took him at 14. But doesn't matter. This is a college bat that was a projected first rounder, and man, he hadn't disappointed since he's healthy now. Yeah, and he's done good.
Sure. And you know, they all hit bumps in the road along the way. And
sure.
You know, he probably didn't, his numbers at AA probably weren't as good as he wanted them to be, but I think he said previously that, you know, by the end of the year, he was feeling good, and that's.
Yeah.
You know, and that's another thing that, you know, you hear the Rangers say is that they aren't going to necessarily look at stat lines. They're going to be looking at the process and if people are doing the right things, because they believe that if they're doing what they're supposed to do, then they're going to eventually, it's going to come around and, you know, it's a case of luck turning in their favor. And I really hate the word luck in baseball parlance, as it kind of seems like an excuse. You know, if you shift and they beat the shift, it's a bad luck. Well, maybe, but it's also just baseball,
yep.
You know, and you can't get unlucky that often. And, you know, you can't be unlucky and give up seven runs. I mean, you've screwed up at some point. So,
yep.
Anyway.
Yeah. No kidding.
That's the box for the day, I guess.
So Jeff and I are still planning our trip out there. We're going to get out there at some point. We can't. It's just hard to make a plan without. Like you said, we were talking about it earlier. I don't want to get out there till big leaguers are there. So, don't blame you. I don't either. So that'll work. I tell you what though. The owners made an offer. Players weren't happy again. I don't know where we are on this. There's not much to go on there. I think everyone knows. TR put out something great today. And that was, he's starting this. How many parts is it going to be?
It's going to be three-part memoir on Josh Hamilton, which is exclusively at jeffwilson.substack.com, $5.99 a month, $60 for a year.
Absolutely.
And these TR stories are worth it alone, you know, on their own.
Oh my gosh.
If you don't want to read a thing I write, but you want to subscribe to read TR stuff, that's fine with me.
Oh my gosh.
It's very good. And you know, it's Rangers history seen through a lens of a man who covered baseball for 32 years, but
he was down there. He was on the
baseball. It's unbelievable how much TR knows about baseball.
Oh, the backstory that he told about Josh, everything. I mean, it's all of that. I think you and I both have stories about Josh that you and I were talking about, you know, and I kind of alluded to mine. I may be one of the only Ranger fans that knew who Josh Hamilton was. And I'm not trying to brag or whatever, but I knew who Josh Hamilton was as an 18-year-old playing rookie ball because I happened to see him play in Princeton, West Virginia as a diehard Texas Ranger fan, and I had the weirdest experience with that guy. So I followed his whole downfall. Like, a lot of Ranger fans heard that story. They know that story. But they didn't hear about that story till after Josh Hamilton was a Texas Ranger. Then he wasn't in the Rangers organization. So he was drafted first overall by the Rays in 1999. I ended up going to Princeton, West Virginia, where they played their rookie ball. The Rangers used to play in Spokane. That's where their rookie ball was. And so there's a little league called the Appalachian League up there, and Bluefield Orioles are up there. The Rangers used to have the Pulaski Rangers. I saw them play there years ago. So we're talking, how many is that, 13, 14 years ago. And I had,
John, 1999, Josh Hamilton was the number one pick in 1999.
So. Oh, that's, I'm thinking like it's 2003, 23 years ago. That's right, 23 years ago.
A long time ago.
Yes, I was old. So I get into town. I know I'm going to be in Princeton. I just think to myself, it'd be cool if they were playing. The computers weren't like they are today. I couldn't pull up my phone and check and see if Princeton was playing. I drive into Princeton, West Virginia. It's not very big. If you think of one of your, you know, suburbs around here, maybe a DeSoto or Cedar Hill, kind of like that. You know, they probably had 30,000 people in the city or whatever. Pull into town, and I was calling. I was selling batteries, car batteries, any kind of battery you had. That's what I sold for a living. And so I was calling on a bus barn where they school buses, where you do school buses and you sell the big batteries for the school buses. Had an appointment. About 1 in the afternoon, as I pull in, I didn't realize right there in the bus yard was the right field fence of where the Princeton Devil Rays played. And so this gate into the stadium's wide open. Nobody's there, but they're taking batting practice. So I do my business, go put my stuff in my van. I had a rented van. I said, I'm going to go in here and see these guys hit. I just read about this number one overall pick. I walk up in the stadium. This is when I knew – maybe there was something weird about Josh. I walked up in there, and there was the only people in this whole place. There was this couple down behind home plate. And they looked at me and immediately came over and just came right at me. And I thought, they work here. I don't know who they are. They come right up to me, and they ask what I was doing there. I said, well, the number one overall pick for the Rays is going to be playing here. And I said, I don't know who he is, but I know I just read about him. They said, yeah, his name's Josh Hamilton. He's number 18. He was wearing number 18. I do remember that. And they pointed him out, and he was about to get in the cage. And they said, well, that's our son. And I was like, oh, wow. So, you know, nice to meet you guys. They're sitting there talking. I thought, and so what's my assumption? Well, you guys have taken off work to come up here and watch Josh play a few games. And I said, so you guys made it up here to watch him play, huh? And they go, well, we actually live here. We're retired, and we moved here. We're going to follow him around. She goes, I usually cook him a meal and I do his laundry. That was the first time I was like, whoa, that's kind of strange. I mean, like, your mom didn't follow you to college, did she, to come do your laundry? And
right. Well, and you know, the deal was, or the story is, that Hamilton was hurt, I think, the next spring. Hurt his back. Maybe it was the spring after that. And so he didn't break camp with the team, and he had to stay back at Rays, the Rays facility.
Right.
and then his parents got in a car wreck.
Yep.
And it was bad enough that she needed medical attention and couldn't be living in a hotel room or whatever. So they went back to their house. And So they left Josh alone for the first time ever. And then shortly thereafter, you know, he couldn't play baseball. So he wandered into this, you know, tattoo parlor. And
right.
That's where the downfall began. So, you know, maybe he was coddled a little too much, but then again, maybe they knew that Josh had a curious streak and that might get him in trouble.
Could be. I don't know, but I got while I was standing there with them, the GM for the little Princeton Devil Rays came up. It was the Princeton Devil Rays then. It wasn't the Princeton Rays or anything. Mm-hmm. He comes up and he's holding these packs of baseball cards. And he's like, hey, the new cards came in. And he goes, the cards. And I said, well, how much are they? And they said, $5. So I said, can I buy a pack here? And he let me, there was no tax or anything. He just sold them to me. So you know who else was on that team? Seth McClung, Carl Crawford. They were all on that team, not known names then. I actually knew who Carl Crawford was over Josh Hamilton because he was a Texas boy that had come out of Houston, and I was kind of following prospects that were supposed to get drafted. But I ended up watching a game that night. I tell you right then, Josh hit three or four buses while he was taking batting practice. At 18, he was killing the ball. He was hitting these buses, and he hit a ball that night. He hit a home run against the Baltimore – or the Bluefield Orioles, which was the rookie ball for everybody in that rookie league, who whatever town you played for, you were the team. So you were like the Blue Jays or the whatever. Mm. So it was the Bluefield Orioles, which was about 30 miles away. And Princeton Bluefield has this big rivalry. There is a state line. Bluefield is Virginia. Princeton is West Virginia. They have big high school football rivalry. It's kind of like a small DFW Metroplex thing.
Interesting.
That day it was pretty interesting. So I was following Hamilton. I had that card. I just knew it was going to be worth all this money. And then lo and behold, the internet came. I started Googling him, and you know, he goes downhill. He goes, you know, so I knew all of it. So when he came to the Rangers, I guarantee you, I'm one of the top percent of people that knew who he was and knew that, oh my God, do you know what this guy's been through before the whole story came out? Now you covered him. You got to have some kind of story.
Well, sure. Before we go on though, interesting story about Carl Crawford. For a number of years, there were Nebraska Cornhusker football faithful who pinned the beginning of the demise of the Cornhuskers program on Carl Crawford because he had committed to go play football there because he was a great quarterback in high school.
Yes, he was.
He signed with the Tampa Bay and played baseball, but there are people who to this day believe in Nebraska that if Carl Crawford had gone to college, you know, he would have replaced Eric Crouch and then been in there with Scott Frost that era. But, you know, really after that's kind of where it started. I know Tom Osborne retired at one point in there, but anyway, that kind of shame about Crawford, but you know, with Josh,
what was he like? God.
Well, like the very first thing I ever did for the Rangers on the Rangers beat. Well, I went to the winter meetings. The first like press conference I went to with the Rangers was the announcing the trade. It was in December of 2007, right around Christmas, and he was there. And I just remember, you know, seeing him, and he's obviously a big guy, but you could see some tattoos, and you knew the story, and he liked to joke around a lot, and you know, 2008, terrific season. I was there for the home run derby, which was amazing. 2009, he was injured. And I went on a rehab assignment. He was with Oklahoma City, and they were playing in Des Moines. They were playing the Iowa Cubs.
Yeah.
And so Star Telegram back then spent money and sent me to Des Moines to just cover a day of Josh Hamilton's rehab assignment. And he batted first or second, something like that. He had five at bats and he saw like six pitches. I mean, you know, he's a notorious first ball swinger.
Yeah.
But he didn't do anything in the game. And so I wrote that. He's like, you know, his game was kind of lackluster, blah, blah, blah. He didn't see a lot of pitches. Well, he gets off of rehab, which was extended a few days because he thought he would just be there for like a day or two. And so first day back, he goes, hey, they read your story about me not seeing pitches. I was like, I'm like, my story is what convinced them to make you stay longer, not any of the coaches or any of the scouts who were there watching.
This is the power this podcast has, I'm telling you right now.
Well, and so, but anyway, you know, obviously 2010, I've never seen a home run like the one he hit one day in Miami. I believe it was the same game. It was definitely the same series when Michael Young became the Rangers' all-time hits leader.
Yeah.
It was a line drive to straightaway center field at Pro Player Stadium. It was 436 to center, you know, just the weird dimensions of that thing. And that ball, obviously it got more than what I say, but that thing didn't get 20 feet off the ground. It was just a straight missile. And I don't know what, you know, exit velocity would have been.
Sure.
But I think that's the hardest I've ever seen a ball hit. And it just, it was unbelievable. It was just, and it was, you know, during his unbelievable July. He ended up hitting 359 that season. He didn't even play in September, but that was probably, he was Mike Trout before Mike Trout.
Sure.
He didn't steal as many bases, but he was super, super fast. I mean, you know, any ball in the gap and he's on first base, he's scoring, you know. Yeah. He's like a 400 meter guy, just get those big legs going and those long strides and he's scoring. You know, of course, injury prone, had some weird stuff happen in 2012. I've never seen a perfect game. There've been 23 of those. I've seen a four homer game, Josh Hamilton. There've been 18 of those. He was number 16. I saw that, May 8th, 2012 at Baltimore. I'm writing about it in the newsletter tomorrow. I went back and watched the video based on TR story. It's just, what a game.
Oh yeah. That was amazing.
Amazing individual performance. So,
you weren't at the perfect game last year.
There was no hitter. The Rangers just got no hit twice. They didn't.
Oh, that's right. It wasn't a perfect game. Yeah. You're right. Okay.
Yeah. But anyway, and then when he came back, he was, I don't know if he was at the end, but he was the same guy. You know, he hadn't really changed. And
was he friendly? You know, was he friendly to you guys?
Yeah, he was very friendly. Sure. Yeah, he wasn't standoffish or anything. And, you know, he wanted to use his platform to spread the gospel and,
sure,
and all that stuff. But there were times where he had some battles and got tired of, you know, he went into that big slump in July of 2012 because he's trying to quit chewing. And, you know, he started chewing again, which pissed off his wife. And
that's a whole nother story.
Exactly. anyway, you know, we don't know where things stand right now with his trial, of his case. You know, he's accused of felony child abuse, in 2019,
right.
The alleged incident was September 29th. I can't do the math, but that's a long time ago.
Yeah, like COVID shut down a lot of courts. I know that, so maybe they're playing catch up. Maybe they're still.
And, you know, there's anyway. Obviously he's not around. The last time we saw him, he was very friendly. It was actually the 28th, the day they shut down the ballpark. So, you know, I know that he's around. His parents live with him again.
Yeah.
You know, so they're keeping tabs on him. So
he's got a ranch here in Texas,
you know,
doesn't he?
He has a ranch down in central Texas. And so, you know, he works the ranch like a, you know, so as long as he's staying busy and not letting his mind do crazy things, he's going to be all right. But I know that, I don't know for a fact, he hasn't told me, but I can tell, you don't have to tell me, that him not being able to see his daughters is driving him nuts. And so, I hope that comes to a good resolution.
Yeah, me too. And look, that's a story that you have to let it play out. You hear accusations, you hear things, you got to see what really happened. Sometimes there's a divorce there. I mean, you know, who knows? I it doesn't sound good, but in either case, and certainly when there's a child involved. But I'm a big guy, and I said this so many times before everyone jumps off and goes off. I'm like, you know what? You really need to hear this whole thing out. You got to hear the story. Yeah. Let's find out. Let's let facts play out and see exactly what happened.
Sure. Sure. And, you know, we can all speculate, and we,
sure,
those of us who know Josh and we have, but, you know, it's not fair to anybody to do that. Just let the court system play out, and, hopefully there's something there. And,
Yep.
And hopefully it's not as, hopefully for everybody's sake.
Yep.
You know, it's not right. as bad as it has been presented.
Portrayed. So, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So anyway, interesting guy.
Yep.
For sure.
Well, I mean, I don't know what else we've got. Was there anything you wanted to touch on before we get out of here? We've already gone an hour and 4 minutes.
Not really. You know, we are going to spring training.
Yep.
That we'll be there. The newsletter will definitely be there. Mm-hmm. There are some exciting things in store for this podcast,
sure.
for the newsletter, which I'm not quite ready to divulge yet.
Yeah, we can't talk about it. There's some neat things. Let's just say there's some very neat things that could happen with this. Yeah. And they're going to happen. And we're just, there's logistics. There's a lot of things that got to get worked out, but it's right. really, it's going to really be cool.
Yeah. If you think you're getting you're not getting your money's worth for some reason and not subscribing to my newsletter, but you're a Rangers fan, you want Rangers content, you need to subscribe. I mean, I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but
no, it's good. It's fantastic. And let me say this, guys, before Jeff and I ever jumped on board, Jeff, you know, I signed up first day. You and I had nothing in this in the plans. I will subscribe every year. I'm going to continue to subscribe to it because I want this to succeed. But I jumped the first day I jumped on this because I read Jeff's stuff and immediately canceled another subscription because that's just the way it works. My guy was here. My guy wasn't there anymore. And yeah, so, so that's the way I do things. And so, and so there we were. And so I was on board immediately every morning. I took a picture last week. I had my phone going with my cup of coffee. And that's the way I do every morning. I'm on it every morning, reading that, having my cup of coffee before I've got to start running all over town.
Yeah. So, jeffwilson.substack.com, yep. $5.99 a month.
That's cheap.
Or $60 for a year. I mean, it's
cheaper
than you're going to get just anywhere. And the content is steady. It varies because, you know, it's not just current day Rangers. There's a lot, you know, John, you're doing stuff that,
yeah,
you know, the GM thing, kind of fun stuff. I'm kind of more nuts and bolts, but we cover the heck out of the farm system. And
sure.
When we just had Justin Foscue on the show. So, it's a good investment if you're a baseball fan. I'll just leave it at that.
The fact that you have come up every day with content the way you have and been actual good stories about the Rangers, even during a lockout in the offseason, guys, I'm telling you what this will be when the season kicks in. I mean, this is just he writes so much that he's got going. I've been amazed to have good stories every morning. And I know what, you know, look, I do my stuff. I don't have the context Jeff does. Jeff has quotes every day. He talks to people inside. He talks to inside sources. I brought up something in my armchair GM about, hey, what if they didn't attach things? You go, well, I've talked to somebody, and he told me who it was, but he said he doesn't think that's going to happen. And I'm like, okay, well, that's great. I mean, that's great content right there. I don't have that context. So I'm going like it is.
Yeah. Well, maybe, hey, it's fun. It's fun to think about.
Yeah, it's a bargaining deal. All right, guys, you know what? Let's get out of here. We've got more guests are going to be next week. We're going to follow up. That's jeffwilson.substack.com. Big things coming up. I guess till next time, Jeff. See you at the yard.